great to have the opportunity to get to speak with you again in this forum. It's been wonderful to have Mike teaching that series on authority and for Ryan to help us to see the existence of God, how God has communicated to us, and that God indeed cares for us. Just kind of seemed weird this week on campus to not be handing somebody an invitation to those special studies. I found that I still have a few in my briefcase, and I thought, what a waste. Should have gotten all of those distributed. But perhaps there are other ways we can invite others to come and consider Jesus. You might even find some on the back table. Well, last week we announced that we're moving sometime. We don't have any of that figured out yet, so we're waiting for elders both here and in Murfreesboro for us to help work through some scheduling. So just wanted to let you know, we're not sure when we're leaving, but as one elder said, well, we're not leaving right now, so we'll get our crying done over the course of some time. But we're delighted to have the opportunity to study with you today. I was just thinking about a friend of mine named Bill Hall. He said, when you go down there to Cason Lane, you're going to love the singing there. I thought, it can't be any better than the singing in Lafayette. It is such an encouragement to have your spiritual lifting up your voices in song to remind us of the great God. That is such a helpful preparation for having the privilege of speaking to you about our great God. So what does come to mind when you think about Thanksgiving as you consider that opportunity? What do you think about? Well, you know, we're kind of thinking about, can't wait to get back home, you know, for Thanksgiving. I mean, we've been eating this food up here, and we're anxious to go have the whatever your special meal is. Cindy asked me yesterday, do you like pumpkin pie? She doesn't, so she figured I must not. And, you know, what about cranberries? You know, what is it that's special? Maybe it's the pecan pie. You know, what is it that specially you think about when it comes to Thanksgiving? Some of us might even think about football. I think there's, John, an Iron Bowl coming up. You know, we kind of think about those kind of things. But I wonder, when we think about Thanksgiving, do we think about God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, love, redemption, forgiveness? Is that on our radar on Thanksgiving? It was when Thanksgiving began. To be thankful is to be grateful and to be appreciative of benefits. And so we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. That's one of the ways that it makes it easier, although it's difficult for us to leave, is your love is growing, you're increasing more and more, and you're just seeking to serve the Lord, and that just... that's such a blessing to see that continue because of your focus being in God and in Christ. And Emerson, thank you for reminding us that we must not forget any of God's benefits. Psalm 103 is such a rich text for us to remember all of God's benefits. And so sometimes we can fail to give thanks because we tend to think that, well, we made it, we built it, we bought it. We did this with our own hands. In fact, we're bootstrap people. And that was the fear that God had in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. As I spoke with my new young friend Aaron here as he talked about agriculture, you know, we shouldn't be complaining about farmers while we're chewing our food. I really like one particular restaurant that keeps emphasizing the fact that this is farm fresh. We need to be grateful for the food that we have. We need to watch ourselves that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. So every day is a really good day to thank the Lord. One of the casualties of a society that forgets God is that we turn inward and we begin worshiping ourselves. Romans 1 speaks of that. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The very slippery slope that leads us away from God begins with a failure to give thanks to God. We begin trusting ourselves. We begin worshiping ourselves. We tend to think that we're in control. That's at least partly because the West seems to believe the reign of human ingenuity and prosperity and technology has supplanted the reign of God. The mark of the secular West is that it actually believes humans are ultimately in control of all things. We believe the world is the way it is because we make it that way. We talk about directing our own evolution. It is a conceit as old as the human race. Satan whispered, and you will be like God. But of course, we aren't in control. So when events don't turn out the way we think they should, our illusion is shattered and our response is panic and flailing. Whether it's 911 or whether it's 11, and I don't remember the date in Paris on that Friday. When we think we're in control of everything, we can quickly be reminded we're really not in control of much of anything other than ourselves. And so we can be thankful. And that's what I want to say to you as brethren today. I want to express to you my thanks. So as I've been listening to these prison letters over this semester in the auditorium study, I just keep being impressed over and over with how thankful Paul is, and yet he's a prisoner. Here he is, constrained, at least under house arrest, and all he seems to be able to talk about is joy and thankfulness and what he has in Jesus Christ. And so as he reminds the Ephesians, he's going to remind them there shouldn't be any obscenity, any foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Here is a thankful man, although one who's restrained in body but not restrained in spirit. Give thanks. Be thankful. Offer prayers with thanksgiving. Then as we just particularly turn our attention to the Colossians, Paul in his prayer for the Colossians is giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. He reminds us that we are rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. One more that doesn't come up on the screen in chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Well, as we think from Psalm 103, we notice if you turn back in your Bible to Psalm 103, the phrase is, bless the Lord, in older translations, including the New American Standard. But in the NIV, it is praise the Lord. That Hebrew word, interestingly, is barak. It means to bless, it means to praise, it means to give honor. And so Psalm 103 reminds us then to bless or praise the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, or praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Don't forget any of His benefits. What was it, Josh? Count your many blessings. That would help you to go to sleep at night if you just started thinking about, rather than counting sheep, just counting all those blessings. And so some of the benefits, some of the blessings that I'd like for you to think about, one of them that's just kind of obvious that I think sometimes we forget is food. I was encouraged on Friday morning, young man with whom we were studying, was obviously hungry. And he bought, I'm not sure what it was, but he was eating it really fast. But before he ate it really fast, he took time to give God thanks. And you know, if you don't even realize it, there are students all around you who are watching you. It's kind of interesting, when I don't have my head down in the text, I'm watching around us and watching other people watching us as we study. And other people watch whether we pray or not. It's sad to me that somehow we've thought we disjoined our relationship in Christ once we walk out of this building. We pray in here, wouldn't we pray across the street? Whenever we're about to take in food, aren't we going to be thankful for the food? My friend Alan Jones made the point of, can you ever think about a time in Jesus' life when he ate without giving God thanks? Well, now, I don't remember every time Jesus ate a meal. But when I think about his model prayer for us, give us this day our daily bread. When I think about the feeding of the 5,000, didn't Jesus give thanks and break that and bless that? When he fed the 4,000, didn't he give thanks? Even with the Passover meal, didn't Jesus give thanks? Can you ever really think about a time when you do read about Jesus about to take in food that he didn't first say, thank you, Father? So I wonder if we just have become, maybe we're just casual grazers, I don't know, and we just don't think, well, if I asked God for thanked him for every time I ate, I'd be thanking God all the time. And the problem is? And so as we just think about the fact that God gives us food and clothes, we're supposed to be content with that. And we want to always add shelter, don't we? But to be thankful for food, I'm never gone hungry in my life, intentionally a couple times. But I'm told about people who get one meal sometimes every 2 or 3 days. I'm told about children in other parts of the world who the parents will mix in a little gravel with the mealy meal because it sticks in their tummy and it makes the kids feel like they're full. I know my brother-in-law has gone without food because there just wasn't any to be had when he was in Mozambique. And so as we think about the fact that we have food in abundance, surely we could say thank you. And you know, there's some people who forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Boy, if there's one little simple lesson we could teach our children, is we always thank God before eating. That's what God's children know. And so as we think about other things for which to be thankful, as we think about health issues, in the story of the Samaritans that are healed in Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, you have 10 lepers who are healed by Jesus. And only one, once he realizes he's been healed, only one turns around and comes back and says, thank you. And you can hear Luke saying, and he was a Samaritan, which the Jews despised. But the Samaritan, 1 out of 10, presumably the others were Jews, that is healed, remembers to say thank you. Natalie's here today. Tony's here today. They've had cancer. Have we said thank you? Dan Asaro. Have we said thank you for the healing that has come? We know there's still concerns. Sharon is here about to face surgery with cancer. We're appealing to God for help and healing. And I knew when I started the list I would miss some people. And please forgive me for those of you who have not remembered right now. But do we take time to say thank you after God brings healing? Do we turn around and go, thank you, God, you've let her live. Thank you, God, you've let me live. The bladder cancer didn't get me. Do we say thanks to God for healing? I want you to think about it, guy. I want you to think about Hezekiah. Here's a man who's told, you're going to die. Set your house in order. Isaiah tells him you're going to die. You can read about it in that elliptical section in Isaiah 38. This is what the Lord says, put your house in order because you're going to die. You will not recover. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah. Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life. My dear brother, Bob Vitsa is here today. And he has coded. If you don't know what that means, ask Bob. And he has appealed, he has pled to God to give him life. Bob Vitsa is one of the strongest men I have ever met. All his physical body has been racked by pain and disease since he was 4 years old. But he values life and he prays for life and he'd love to have one day when he didn't just hurt from head to toe, literally. But he keeps on trusting God. Isaiah, with tears, pled with God, please let me live. And God says, you have 15 more years. Not trying to be melodramatic, for some of us, that's a long time. For some of us in this audience, 15 years is probably not, that's probably not something we're going to see. Maybe five, maybe less. 15 years. And so at the continuation of that song, that poetry, that celebration that Hezekiah goes through. He says, you restored me to health and let me live. Surely it was for my benefit that I suffered such anguish. In your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. The living, they praise you. As I am doing today. Fathers tell their children about your faithfulness. My dear Justin, tell your children about God's faithfulness. Those lesions aren't cancer. We pray they never will be. But as we face the dangers, as we face the trials, Hezekiah's appeal is, the grave can't praise you. If I'm dead, I can't praise you. Let me live so I can praise you, and I will tell my children of your faithfulness. Let us make sure that the life that we have is lived to the praise and glory of God, and to give Him thanks. So, one of the things that we have is we have family, we have community, we have the sharing, we have the faith and the love. And so Paul would say to the Ephesians, whom he's known for some time, he spent 3 years with them. That's kind of a lengthy stay for Paul. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Bev, it was either 84 or 85 and you were teaching me unto thee, O Lord, right there in the amphitheater at Shacamack. And Craig was chicken man. He was the fastest runner we'd ever seen at the campground. And Abe was still a little kid. And yet you invited us to come up and get to know you. That's 84, 85. Do you realize that's been over 30 years? The young people say, of course we knew you were old. We have been knowing some of you for over 30 years. And it's been a joy. And so Paul says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, it was probably, 87 or something when we came for a series of what we call gospel meetings. And you were so encouraging even when we were in Clarksville, Tennessee. Even when the girls were little, you were helping and teach us and instructing us about how to love our children, how to train our children. So we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work, produced by faith, your labor, prompted by love, and your endurance, inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we remember. So, if we're remembering all of God's benefits, certainly we're going to remember His salvation, His forgiveness, His compassion, His redemption. Would you look with me in Psalm 103, beginning in verses 10 through 14? I don't know how your translation reads. This particularly stands out to me, and I think I've mentioned it one time before. It particularly stands out to me on a night when my parents were visiting us in Hartselle, Alabama. And a young man called me with whom I had been talking about how to go about trying to do evangelistic work in Europe. And that young man, on that evening, confided in me that he had been going up to Nashville to gay bars. And as a young evangelist was struggling with his sexual orientation, and he was drowning in guilt. And the passage that I thought of was this passage. And as I started reading the passage, he just took it away from me and started quoting it. He didn't take it away in any disrespectful way. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness or mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. That gives me such hope, such encouragement. Michael, when the throngs are, the hostility is after us, He is mindful that we are but dust. And He cares about us like a father who has compassion. I can remember presenting Psalm 103 in Budapest, Hungary, after someone else had come to work as an evangelist. And he said, after I presented Psalm 103, you're not my kind of preacher. He had been very harsh with the people. He had experienced bitterness, and he had driven people into the ground and gave them no hope, no anticipation of forgiveness. And so when I read Psalm 103, I wasn't his kind of preacher. I hope I never will be. Because that's not our Father. We need to do right. And we need to quit sinning. But we need to know that we've got a Father who's merciful and gracious and forgives us. And He takes us back every time when we come on His terms. That's the God we serve, is it not? So, we seek deliverance. We seek freedom. We seek forgiveness. Therefore, we are buried with Him through baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too may live a new life. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves of sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the standard, the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Have you done that? Have you sought the release? Have you sought the forgiveness? Have you come to Christ on His terms to be free? Free from sin, free to serve in Christ. As we think about this indescribable gift that God offers, as I think about your generosity, Cindy Newton, does everybody have to be on the meal list? I mean it in all kindness. It just seems like she recognizes there's a need. She can't wait for somebody else to get some. I'm just kidding. To have some child. Because we can provide. And Cindy and I don't seem to ever be able to get on the list fast enough. You guys have already filled it and you're already feeding people. And you're feeding them with love and mercy and compassion. But they're learning something more than the fact that these folks are good cooks. They're seeing the obedience that accompanies your confession to the gospel of Christ. The context is the needy Christians in Jerusalem. And they're seeing the generosity in sharing with these needy Christians and with everyone else that are needy in Christ. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace of God, the grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. God's grace acts in your life as you live graciously and generously giving to others. And so as we think about the victory, thank you, John, 1 Corinthians 15. As we think about the victory over physical death, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. It's Christ whom we serve. So let's not forget any of His benefits. Let's be thinking about Him on Thanksgiving and any other and every other day. Let's bless the Lord. Let's not forget any of His benefits. Let's remember that He has pardoned our iniquities, that He heals our diseases, that He redeems our life from the pit. And He crowns us with loving kindness or mercy and compassion. Let us remember that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ. And so, as our dear friend, and I'll speak about her even though she's not here today, Mary's not able to be with us, but she's got a packet of stuff she can use. Mary asked Sarah last week when she heard we were leaving. She said, "Well, how many people will leave?" Well, Sarah said, "Nobody. None. Zero." I don't know if you said zero, but probably did. And that's the point. You don't follow the preacher. You follow the Son. You follow the Christ. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ. And if we're not pointing you to Christ, we need to go. We need to shut up, quit talking about it. We need to follow Jesus. And I trust that that's why you're here. Because you serve a risen Savior who wants you to be in the image of Himself as He's in the image of His Father. And that you walk with Him and that you serve Him all your days. Won't you come to Jesus if you haven't yet as we stand and sing.